This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Dee and Natale, of course, none of them are there now. How has the Australian Greens changed in the time that you've been in the Senate?
Essentially, we've grown, and we have, I think, become more powerful, and really sort of have said, and particularly over that 10 years, that sense of we are absolutely not just here to stay, as by far, you know, the biggest third force in Australian politics in the history of Australian politics, but we are growing. And at the last federal election, to have won, you know, we got two new senators elected, but in particular getting three new MPs, and in Queensland, in Brisbane, really, I think, put a line, you know, made it very clear that the Greens, we're not just sitting back and thinking we're, you know, just content to be at the size we are, that we're growing and we're going to continue to win more House of Representatives seats and continuing to head to a time when we are going to be having a share in government. And that's absolutely where we're heading. And I think, you know, over the last few years, there's been more of an awareness amongst the Australian community that that's a really realistic future for us. And our you know, we continue to grow, the number of people voting for us continues to grow. And for me, that's the thing that gives me hope about the future, because in terms of that drive and my values of working for justice for people and the planet and for a future for us all, I can't see it being achieved other than having the Greens having that powerful voice in our parliament.
I was going to ask Janet, yourself and Dean, colleagues in the Senate for many years, and have worked together collaboratively on a whole lot of legislation and issues, most particularly the one that sticks in my mind is marriage equality.
But not, absolutely. Yeah,
but not only marriage.
Marriage equality, you know, committees and other things. Yeah. What I often wonder, though, is that the issues that, and I won't put Dean on the spot here, but with other senators that you have a really strong disagreement with them on a policy, how do you then reconcile it by working with that senator on another issue where you share some interests? That's got to be pretty difficult.
Yeah, and look, I think, I mean, let's, you know, talk the relationship between Dean and myself, and marriage equality absolutely was, you know, was the highlight of that, and where we managed to work together. And I think it's symbolic of the way that you can work. I mean, for achieving marriage equality and the work that was done on putting together Dean's private senator's bill through the committee process at the time of, when we were working out whether we were going to have a plebiscite or a postal vote, it was Dean, Lou Pratt, and from Labor, and myself, who were the key people in that Senate committee process. And we knew that we would have to give grounds on things, and that none of us were going to get exactly what we wanted, but we had a shared goal. And I think as long as you know that you've got some shared goals, you can put other things aside that you don't share and say, but we've got a shared goal here and we're going to work together to achieve it.
Perhaps it's eat the meal you served at the moment rather than the one you're thinking about tomorrow.
And I think, yes, I think so. But it's also, there are some people that, you know, I work well with because they are willing to work collaboratively, whereas there are other people who have got very different values and very different things they're trying to achieve in the Senate who are not interested in working collaboratively. Yeah. And basically that whole adversarial, not, you know, 100% my way or the highway, means that you just, it's not possible to sort of make those bridge across the aisle and work together. But that's, you know, that hasn't been the case with a lot of people that I've worked with across, you know, the whole spectrum of the parliament.
That's right, Janet. My observation is that some people come to the Senate to use it as a platform, Others, you know, like yourself, come to the Senate to use it as a vehicle through which they can sort of find, you know, common perspectives and then sort of advance the national good. And, you know, I think many people would be surprised.
Or both. I think in my case, I'm
well, actually, that's a fair point.
Platform,
that's a fair point. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, I thought it rude to reflect on the events of the last week as we're singing your...
But I'm going to wear being censored by the Senate wears a badge of honour, I can tell
but you.
Because it was the opportunity to speak up.
You were very forthright and very clear in your perspective when you defended your actions in the House of Representatives, that's right.
Unusual as it is for me to get the final word, the Senator's times have expired.
Has expired.
We have to go, Janet. Love to have a chat to you once the pin is well and truly pulled. And, you know, you're a private citizen again. Look forward to chatting to you then. Thanks for making the time today. Best to Anne, and enjoy Mardi Gras tonight. And I do hope that Mardi Gras, in some way, tonight, recognises both the two members of our community who were murdered, but actually makes a statement about domestic violence in our community. It's a subject none of us feel comfortable talking about, but I do hope Mardi Gras or there's some recognition of that. Have a good trip, Janet.
Thanks very much, Macca, and thanks, Dean.
Cheers.
Cheers.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Senator Dean Smith. Coming up, our favourite Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, Lord Mayor of Melbourne. Stay with us. We love getting those messages. Also, 0427 569 949. It's Macca here. My special guest is Western Australian Liberal Senator Dean Smith, and on the line, Lord Mayor Sally Capp. Now, Dean does immense preparation. It's like Senate it's like Senate estimates. He's got scratchings on paper here.
That would be the nerd in me.
Yeah, it's the nerd in him. So,
that's right.
So, Dean, have a look at your list. What do you got?
Go on. I've got, of course, it's Sally, it's part of sort of WA LGBTI folklore that young West Australian guys and girls often sort of make the trek to Sydney or Melbourne, experience the big world of being out. What one thing would you like to steal from Sydney?
Oh, how interesting. The wonderful tension between Sydney and Melbourne, I think, spurs us on to bigger and better things. Of course, we would like a Mardi Gras that is bigger than what happens in Sydney. Our midsummer parade, I think, is absolutely fantastic. But seeing that grow into something even bigger, I'd love to see it go through the streets of Melbourne. Yes, you heard it here, City of Port Phillip, and really turn it into
Saturday Magazine.
It's all right, keep going.
I've been the biggest.
That was a fanfare for the arrival of the Sydney Mardi Gras in Melbourne. Yep.
but on the other hand, you know, the street festivals that we have in and around Gertrude Street, etc., I think are absolutely fantastic. I'm rambling a bit here, Dane, as I try and think of something I want to steal from Sydney, and I'm really struggling because I think we do it really pretty well in Melbourne. The biggest thing for me is to make sure that we have a community that is welcoming and inclusive, where we really value people for their individuality. And the great thing about the Midsummer Festival is that it is full of the celebrations and parades, but actually it has an enormous program to bring information, education, celebration and showcasing of our very vibrant LGBTQIA plus community.
Well,
which
Sally,
we're proud of.
Sally, I think I can say this. I think that Australia is very, very well served by having Sydney and Melbourne.
Yes.
But in the interest of full disclosure, I think I'm probably more Melbourne than I am Sydney.
Yes. And if we had
And
if we had to steal something from Adelaide, it'd probably be the ability to park on the street.
I'm interested. Dean didn't ask what we want to steal from Perth.
Yeah.
Wow,
Would have been
Sally.
A short conversation.
That sounds like you've done a little bit of preparation as well for this interview. Well done. It's an interesting thing about Perth. It is that little bit far away that people usually have to think twice about coming. But people are always impressed by just how easy a place it is to live. One of the things about Perth that is often overlooked or not recognised is it is actually a very multicultural city, and by proportion, I think it's true to say Western Australia is the Perth is the most multicultural city. And then, of course, unlike it often gets compared, you know, with Brisbane, but
very
Perth is by far the biggest city in Perth, and then of about 1.7 million people, and then the next biggest city is Bunbury of about 100-120. So it is a very, very concentrated state in terms of where people live, but it's fantastic, and we don't think we need to steal anything from anyone.
It says here, Sydney, a listener, Sally, a listener says, Sydney is the fun person you go out with and Melbourne is the partner you you settle down with eventually.
I haven't heard that one before. I love it.
So I sanitised it a bit there.
So what is Brisbane out of interest? My partner's from Brisbane. Not sure. I have to ask him.
Yes. Just to go on to some other, we've got Moomba coming up, Sally, and a whole range of events in Melbourne over the coming months. I have noticed there seems to be an increased amount of activity and work around cleaning and graffiti and rubbish collection in the city of Melbourne. Or am I just noticing it because, I don't know, because I thought it perhaps did need some more
attention.
Because
I tell you all the time.
Well, yeah, you're always, you know.
look, we have upped again. I mean, it's a record investment in cleaning and removing tagging and graffiti. And I wish in so many ways we didn't have to spend this money, but we do to keep the city clean. And March is manic, as you know, with events. We've got the fashion festival just starting. Moomba is next week. We've got the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival starts next week as well. Of course, the Grand Prix, the Melbourne Flower and Garden Show. Dean, how are we going here? It's an incredible lift.
Sally, you're talking to the converted. You're talking to the converted. It sounds great. I might even stay.
Oh, is there a Senate vacancy in Victoria?
Our cleaning around major events is massive, huge effort and absolutely key. And I think people, you know, want to know they can come in and have a really good time and to not feel disappointed by some of those sort of basic efforts. So, yes, it is cleaner. We have upped a new cleaning contract and away we go.
The other, I suppose some of the other things that are happening in Melbourne, you didn't go to Taylor Swift because you were dancing with penguins, is that right?
That's right.
Yep. So I can't ask you about Taylor Swift, about the experience, but what that actually brought to Melbourne. Mm. And it's really interesting. Oh, you know, Singapore has Taylor Swift, but they did a deal with the promoters that Singapore would be the only city in that part of Asia where she would perform. And they did that on the basis of the economic activity, which in Melbourne... someone you know quite well, Steve Demopoulos, otherwise known as Dimmo, Minister for Tourism, Major Events, Outdoor Recreation and Having Fun. He told us it was about $44 million a day in extra activity. Probably most of it spent on merchandise. On hotels, actually, was the biggest category. So
yeah, hotels, that's right.
What's your, you know, what did you hear, or what has council got, you know, told you about how it impacted?
I mean, even in the lead up and preparation, it was, I know that the Tay Tay weekend was the biggest February weekend we've had since 2019, that it's gone into our top 10 all-time biggest weekends ever recorded. And I was with the team from Sofitel at Photo 2024, which I need to mention before I finish, because that started yesterday, the most incredible biennale of photography with people from around the world and local artists as well, turning Melbourne and Victoria into the most incredible photographic exhibition. Please enjoy it. But in talking to the Sofitel Macca, they said, please bring us another Tay Tay.
Oh, yes.
They said it was absolutely epic. But, of course, from the Australian Open, we've been seeing record crowds coming in. And the Australian Open this year was the first time we've seen more international visitors than ever before since 2019. So we're really seeing the return of the international visitors as well as national and local. So we're in good shape. And I think it's absolutely fantastic. There's a renewed sense of really making the most of all of these events post-COVID, and that's a great thing. The levels of enthusiasm are very high.
It really, this sort of event really does make Melbourne marvellous.
I'll tell you what also makes Melbourne great, and that is Smith Street for retro furniture shopping.
Oh, yes.
It's a real favourite of mine.
Dean likes a bit of retro. That's good. Why he's he's dressed in...
We love supporting the local economy.
He's dressed all in black, Sal.
Very Melbourne.
Oh, that's the inner goth in me.
Very Melbourne. And also,
if people still remember goths, do we still have goths?
Oh, yeah, we do. That $44 million figure also, we had a guest from NAB who a week ago who told us about that. I reckon Demo might have stolen that info from them. He probably listened in. Huge amount of activity. So, Sally, Green Line. Yeah. Remember the promise you gave me about Green Line?
Yes, I do. Yeah, you will be cutting a ribbon and walking over water.
to get a line from Nemesis, if Macca walked on water, how does that translate? They said about it would just show that he couldn't swim. we've only got a minute or so left, Sal, or a minute or two. What for you is what you want to achieve in the current term that you've still got to do? Not saying whether you're standing or not standing again, because we have to wait for a Saturday at 10:30 when you come on here and announce it. What other things have you got on your agenda that you want to achieve before you leave Town Hall or before this term finishes?
Yeah. Well, look, Macca, thanks. And many of them I mentioned earlier, it's really making sure we've done everything we can to deliver projects that were expected in this term. I mean, for example, the upgrade of many of our community sporting facilities has been delivered. Absolutely brilliant to see female and gender diverse facilities available and the flourishing of how many people are, you know, able to have access to those facilities now. Those sorts of projects are absolutely brilliant. But I think it has been a real feature just in reflection of council over the last 6 years is that we have been dedicated to projects that go beyond terms. And I think that's important as well. You know, we often hear a criticism of politicians that everything's short term and it's the is it the lolly? Oh, no, I've gone down the wrong analogy there, but you know what I mean. The sugar hit is what I was looking for. And yet I think out of COVID particularly, really investing for the long term and projects that, you know, are going to be city shaping like Green Line, they're big, brave decisions because they're really difficult projects and they require a dedication. And so I think those sorts of programs and projects Make Room, for example, stepping into helping people experiencing homelessness. Those sorts of efforts are really important. So we're proud of those and they may go beyond this term, but I know the councillor group is particularly proud to know that we've created legacy and we haven't just been focused on short-term sugar hits. Yeah.
Well, if the messages and emails are any guide, Sal, I'll make sure they're all residents or voters in the City of Melbourne so they can make a considered decision.
Thank you, Macca. I know you're very experienced at these things.
Oh, no, not true. I reckon perhaps we should do a Nemesis on community organisations. That'd be interesting. have you got a final quick question, Dean? And Sally, it has to be a quick answer.
Well, very, very best wishes for the big election if you choose to run, Sally. As we've talked about on the show, it's a big commitment from people. And no matter what sort of side of politics we come from, I think we all recognise that it does take a lot out of us and our families. But we wish you all the very best.
Thank
Whatever
you, Dan.
Decision you might choose to make.
Thank you. I'm hoping we're going to have an incredible variety of quality candidates who put their hand up and that Macca gets a chance to grill them in the usual format there at SatMac.
I do, and once again, Sally, thank you for making Melbourne magnificent. It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Macca. Bye, Dean.
Cheers.
Take
Happy
care.
Saturday.
You are on SatMag, Macca and Dean.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.